All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Keeling's Corner. We have a lot to unravel today, a lot to unpack, a lot to get to. Mikey's back with us after missing last week. Mikey, what's going on?
Nothing much. Excited for another good episode.
All right, well, let's get right into it. So there's a lot to unravel. There was two trades that was just made. Amari Cooper just went to Buffalo, and Devontae Adams just went to the New York Jets, which seems like a little bit of a desperation move. I don't think this happens if they're 5-1 or even 4-2. But for a conditional third-round pick, why not take on a top-three receiver in football? Yes, he's making a lot of money, but non-guaranteed money, so that contract is going to have to be reworked anyways. So what do you think? What are your thoughts on the trade?
I mean, I think it hurts. I think it hurts mainly Lazard for fantasy. I think what's-his-name will still have a role in the offense, obviously.
I think it's the other way around. I think it hurts Wilson more than it hurts Lazard. I think Lazard's still going to get his targets. Rodgers likes throwing to people that he trusts. Rodgers threw a lot of balls that I don't think he to Lazard on Monday night that I don't think he throws to anybody else but guys that he trusts.
That one over the middle of the seat.
Exactly, and I don't think he throws it to anybody else. So I think Lazard will still have a role in this offense. You could very well see this offense look like the Bengals did with Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. And hopefully, you know, for Garrett Wilson owners, Garrett Wilson doesn't turn into Tyler Boyd, which it's very possible that he could, and Lazard could be the 1,100-yard guy that gets touchdowns.
So if you're a Garrett Wilson owner, would you suggest trade him, keep him, or?
I'd probably – see, I don't – say someone asked me about Amari Cooper, and they were like, oh, should I trade Amari Cooper? You know, this guy's offering me, whatever it is, and I said, no, I'm not trading Amari Cooper because I want to see what Amari Cooper is in, you know, his new offense first. So I would say I want to see what Garrett Wilson is. But if you can find someone to give you, like, a high upside guy, like maybe even Cooper Kupp. You know, if you can go out there and trade Wilson for Cooper Kupp, I would probably do it. If you could get someone to give you Cooper Kupp for Garrett Wilson, yes, the injury history is there. I'm aware of that. But I think the upside is a lot higher for Cooper Kupp than it is Garrett Wilson, and if Cooper Kupp was 100% healthy and he played the past 4 weeks, no one in their right mind would trade you Cooper Kupp for Garrett Wilson. So that's a guy that I'd probably buy low on. And I think if you offer that to somebody, they might say yes. They might get that done.
So say someone offers you Mike Evans for Garrett Wilson. Would you do it? Or
Mike Evans for Garrett Wilson?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mike Evans is playing a little bit of second fiddle in that offense to Chris Godwin this year, but it is a high-powered offense. It's rough. It is. I probably wouldn't trade him for Mike Evans.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't trade him for Mike Evans. Another interesting name is Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Would I trade Brandon Ayuk? Would I trade Garrett Wilson for Brandon Ayuk? I don't know. It's so interesting. Brandon Ayuk, besides for one game, he's really done absolutely nothing this year.
Which is weird. Like, he got paid and then just stopped.
Well, that usually happens to guys. I mean, no offense is worse right now than the Cowboy offense.
Oh, yeah.
And their two main players just got paid. There is one offense that's worse. It's Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
But
and the Giants.
The Giants don't have a bad offense. The Giants have a bad coach. But that's
You think so? You don't think Daniel Jones is terrible?
No, I don't think Daniel Jones is terrible. I don't think he's great. He's not terrible. Yes, on that fourth down, he did have two guys that are wide open. Okay, and yes, he threw it to the wrong guy. But there was a lot of other factors that play into that game. He's also playing without his, you know, number one running back and his number one wide receiver. Daniel Jones is doing just fine. Daniel Jones, I think the Giants might just be falling into that category of just losers. Like, how do you lose when Malik Nabers, all you have to do is catch the football and you beat Washington, who's right now one of the best teams in the league?
We should be like 4-1 too.
Exactly.
Like,
that's why I'm saying, are they falling into that category where it's like, all right, are they just a losing organization?
Yeah.
They signed Daniel Jones to be this great quarterback, and he's not a great quarterback, but he's not an awful quarterback.
Yeah.
He's an average quarterback. He's like 15 other quarterbacks in the National Football League. That's what he is. But I have, for fantasy purposes, when Neighbors comes back, I do think he's going to get a ton of targets because Darius Slayton can't catch, which that's a guy who I think the Steelers might look to go after, Darius Slayton.
Yeah, I think Steelers or Chiefs, maybe. He's free agent after the year, so.
Yeah, so it'll be a nice buy low, probably like a 6th-round, 7th-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Steelers missed out on yet another wide receiver in Devontae Adams. They missed out on Brandon Ayuk. Hopefully they don't miss out on a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, even though I heard that they don't have interest in him.
Really?
That'd be flat out stupid. I don't know, you know, where the upgrade's going to be. They changed. I mean, this is a big fantasy, and it has a lot of big fantasy implications here because Justin Fields was playing pretty well as a fantasy quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's gone.
I know a lot of people that had Justin Fields as a starter, including me. I had him as a starter in one of my leagues.
Well, I wouldn't drop him just yet.
Yeah, I'm
because
waiting.
I do not think, I truthfully think, come Sunday night, Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback.
You think so?
I think Tomlin does this, you know, more often than not, where he tries to outsmart everyone. And right now he's got the Jets defense, which is a pretty solid defense, preparing for two different quarterbacks. Instead of having their game plan settled on Justin Fields and what the Steelers do with Justin Fields, Wilson and Fields at this point in their career have two different play styles. So the Jets have to prepare for two different quarterbacks rather than preparing for just one. I don't know how you could take a guy who has 10 touchdowns and one interception out of the lineup in 1,300 yards at 4-2, tied for first in the division. Just don't know how you could, where your offensive line is atrocious. You're missing three starters, two of them for the year. Okay, your offensive line is atrocious. Your number one weapon on offense without any receivers is Justin Fields' legs. So you're going to put an immobile quarterback back there to throw to nobody behind a terrible offensive line. Mike Tomlin, I get it. You want to see what a Hall of Fame, Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback, you know, in his prime could do, but he's not in his prime anymore. Yeah. Okay, so I understand you want to exhaust all your options. And if you were 2-4, Wilson would have started last week. Okay, but you're not. You're 4-2. Okay, you have a 25-year-old quarterback that could be well on his way to being your franchise quarterback, okay? And you need to see what that is rather than playing a 35-year-old about to turn 36 and then being in the same position next offseason needing a quarterback. Stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
So for fantasy-wise, though, do you think it helps Pickens and Harris more, or do you think it hurts them?
I don't think it changes anything for those guys. The Steeler offense is going to do the exact same thing with Wilson or with Fields. Like, you're going to see 8 targets for George Pickens. You're going to see Harris run the football 15 to 20 times a game. That's what you're going to... Their production is going to be anywhere from 50 to 100 yards for Najee Harris. And Pickens doesn't have a touchdown yet. I don't think adding Wilson changes that. Pickens dropped a touchdown last week. He fumbled one near the goal line against the Colts. He had one called back on a terrible call by the refs on a pick play.
I don't know what his problem's been this year.
I guess he's a head case, but reports are coming out that he's saying that he doesn't want people to look at him like that, and that's not true. But he doesn't play. He doesn't play any snaps. He played less than 50% of the Steelers' offensive snaps against Dallas. Why? He's your best weapon. Yeah. You're having Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson out there as your 1-2, and now you want to put a guy who can't move and Russell Wilson behind a terrible offensive line to throw to them? It's a recipe for disaster. It doesn't change anybody's outlook on the Steelers offense. Yeah. Steelers going to Russell Wilson. Literally nothing changes. They're borderline unstartable. Najee Harris is literally the only person right now that I could start with confidence. Yes, I know Pickens is going to get 6 to 8 targets, but he's not going to be on the field all the time. So he needs to be efficient with those targets.
Have they said the reasoning for why he's...
Yeah, they said that Mike Tomlin said that every team is doing it with their number one wide receiver. They're managing their load. Meanwhile, statistically, that's not true, so he was proven wrong, so he lied. So he lied. Don't know why they're doing that. They could look to trade him. Rumors have it that they reached out to Kansas City to see what they would give him for Pickens. I don't see Pickens signing another contract with the Steelers, second contract.
I don't see the Steelers wanting to sign him back either.
So I don't know where the Steelers turn from here, but
Garrett Wilson could very well
be a Steeler within the next coming years because the Steelers are going to get the free agency this year and they're going to throw a lot of money at a wide receiver. And if they strike out again, they may look to get into the trade market and trade for Garrett Wilson if he's not happy because he's not getting targets from Rodgers because he's got Adams and Lazard there. You know, Wilson's going to want his money.
The Steelers, would you go after Mike Williams at all? Or?
Oh, yeah.
You would?
Oh, yeah. I want Mike Williams. Bring him in. Because you're in the Aaron Rodgers doghouse doesn't mean you're not good. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers has done this throughout his entire career. Okay? Mike Williams is a solid receiver. He underthrew that ball.
Oh, yeah.
Williams slipped, whether he ran the wrong route or not.
Yeah.
You saw him. First off, you had Breece Hall wide open. It would have been an easy first down. Instead, you try to take a shot. It's because he's trying to be the hero. and he's just not that guy anymore. 5 years ago, yes, Aaron Rodgers, you're the best quarterback, you know, arguably in the league. You're not that guy anymore. You're 40.
Yeah.
Coming off of an Achilles injury that people don't usually come back from.
But I mean, he was having a great game that game, though, and that just ruined it.
Who was having a great game?
I think Rodgers having a great
game. How was he having a great game? They're 13 points.
Well, yeah, but...
No, I mean, the Hail Mary doesn't count. The Hail Mary is...
That's all him.
Oh, how is it all him?
Quarterbacks can do that.
Every quarterback can do that.
You think
so? He didn't do anything special. He threw the ball up in the air.
Yeah, but
Lazard came down with it. Any quarterback that could throw the ball 50, 60 yards could do that. It just matters if the receiver catches it or not. Hey, Shador Sanders, some magician for throwing a 50-yard touchdown against Baylor with 1 second left on the clock? No. Anybody who's a quarterback can make that throw.
He's just so good at it. Doesn't he have like four?
Yes, it is crazy. And he is really good at it, but could also just mean he's very lucky.
Yeah.
He threw a Hail Mary. Literally a Hail Mary. That Hail Mary. Luck.
Yeah.
Threw a Hail Mary. He threw up a prayer and it got caught. I'm sorry. He was not having that good of a game. So the Jets offense will look better with Adams because there will be some type of a connection. And of course, just my luck. He plays the Steelers this week, and I think the Steelers are going to get trounced. And I don't think the Jets are good. But yeah. I think if you switch to Wilson, I think with the Jets pass rush, I think the Steelers are going to get trounced.
Yeah, because Wilson also has the occasion of holding the ball way too long.
Exactly, way too long. And he's got nobody to throw the football to. At least Mike Williams is a professional receiver.
Because also you got Sauce, Garden, Pickens, so it's like...
Exactly. The Steelers are in a world of trouble Sunday night if they don't start Justin Fields. World of trouble. I don't think they could win if they don't start Justin Fields. I got to be honest with you. I really don't.
Yeah, because his options are like...
And I hope I'm wrong. I hope Russell Wilson comes in and he's slinging the ball all over the place and he makes Scotty Miller look good and he makes Calvin Austin look good and he makes Van Jefferson look good and he makes George Pickens be the number one. That's not going to happen. Certainly do not think that's going to happen. So... I do think that the Jets' offense will look better. I do think it helps them. I think it's more eye candy than anything else. Doesn't fix their tackling on defense. Doesn't fix their offensive line problems. Doesn't fix their head coaching problems. Doesn't fix a lot of problems.
Yeah.
It's eye candy. That's what it is. All right, well, that was football.
It was.
Now, we're going to move on to baseball because, well, the World Series is right around the corner. Both New York teams are... thriving right now, and there's a Dodger team out there that is looking to stop the Mets from getting to the World Series and prevent the Subway World Series. I do think the Yankees are going to make it to the World Series. I did not think that prior, but the Yankees are playing average baseball right now, and that's good enough to get them to where they need to go. At least I hope. I mean, I don't know. The Yankees scored three runs in one inning on one hit, and it was a leadoff home run by Juan Soto. Thanks to walks and pass balls. Does that make them a good team? No. Last night when Volpe and Rizzo and Jazz, well, Jazz got thrown out on the base pass, but when they strung together a couple of hits, you know, it felt nice. They need Judge to get going. You know, Big G, Glaber, and Soto have carried them to where they are right now. Judge needs to wake up, and if Judge wakes up and those guys continue to hit the way that they're hitting, Volpe's still getting on base, Rizzo's still hitting, swinging a hot bat, they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been saying since the Lindor home run in the Braves game to send the Mets to the playoffs, I've been saying that it's the Mets' year, that they have the Cinderella shoe on. I'm not going to change that because I do think that that's what's going to happen. Logic would tell me I think the Dodgers are going to win. The logic would tell me that I think it's just the Mets here. So that's that. The Dodgers, to me, have the better team. It's interesting how they don't have any starting pitchers.
Yeah, I don't.
That's pretty mind-boggling to me. And Sean Manaea has been absolutely amazing for the Mets. I think Severino gets hammered tonight. I think the Mets lose tonight. I think there's a lot of Mets fans right now holding their head high, thinking that they're coming home and they're coming back to 3 in Citi Field and that they can't lose. Like I said, they could have the Cinderella shoe on. I think they have the Cinderella shoe on. All I'm saying is, if I'm thinking logically, I think the Mets lose two games in Citi Field.
I think they win today because they're facing Walker Buehler.
But Buehler has the experience. Severino's a terrible big game pitcher. Terrible. He sucked for the Yankees in big games. the Dodgers have three MVPs on their team. Ohtani is a stud. I think the Mets lose tonight. I do. I think the Mets lose tonight. And then wherever the series goes from there, it could take the wind out. I'm interested to see what the fans say if they lose tonight. Because every Met fan that I've talked to has said there is no way they're losing tonight or at Citi Field.
I mean, I think
that's their fandom coming out because that's not reality.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are the best team, you know, probably left out of the four teams that are left.
Yeah.
You know, from top to bottom. If they had starting pitching, it would be over. I'm interested to see what happens. You're a Mets fan. What do you think is going to happen tonight? Or what do you think is going to happen in the three games at Citi Field?
I do think they wind up winning today's game. I think Walker Buehler is a terrible pitcher, nothing like he used to be a couple years ago. I think they wind up losing the next game and then losing their last home game of the series.
See, I think it's going to be the opposite way around. I think the Mets are going to lose two. I think the Mets are going to lose two in a row. They're going to win the last game. They're going to go back to L.A. And if they can force a game seven, then anything could happen. But I think that series goes seven.
Okay.
If the series doesn't go seven, the Dodgers win. I think if any team is going to win before seven games, it'll be the Dodgers. I don't think the Mets can win the game prior to game seven. I don't think that could happen. I think the Dodgers are too good of a baseball team. Whereas for the Yankees, I think the Yankees, you know, coming into this series, there's some history between the Yankees and the Guardians and the then Indians. I think the Yankees are going to sweep them if they win tonight.
I do think
they're I really do. I think if the Yankees win tonight, they're going to sweep them. The one thing the Yankees have is four starters.
Oh, the Yankees play tonight?
I'm sorry, tomorrow night.
Say.
The one thing that the Yankees have is four starters. The Yankees have Cole, they have Schmidt, who's been solid. They have Rodon, who's been solid here and there, but he's getting paid like an ace. And they have the man who is nowhere to be found, the potential rookie of the year in the American League, Luis Gil. I don't know where he's been. He hasn't pitched out of the playoffs. I don't know why.
What's going on with him?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't complain because they're winning, but Gil should have started one of the games. Gil should have been coming out of the bullpen if he wasn't going to start one of the games. And now you're going to pitch Gil in game four on short rest. I mean, on very long rest. You know, he hasn't pitched in a while, so how deep can he go? And how sharp is he going to be?
Yeah.
I think that's a mistake.
And it's kind of been weird because he's kind of been their best pitcher this year.
Exactly. By far and away, he was their best pitcher this year. So that's an interesting move by the Yankees, by Brian Cashman, by Aaron Boone. I don't see how the Yankees can lose this series at this point. It just doesn't feel like, you know, the Guardians are good enough, and they were the best team in baseball for 3 months. They had the best record, so it'll be very interesting to see how the rest of the series plays out. I think if the Yankees win tomorrow night, it's over. History would tell you that. That's what we're looking at with baseball right now. The Mets and Dodgers series is clearly the more fun series. It's the more exciting series. Quite frankly, the Yankees-Guardians games have been very bad baseball, so not that the Mets and the Dodgers have been, you know, great baseball, but they're scoring runs, so it makes it more exciting. You know, they've been blowouts for the most part. The last game with the Dodgers and the Mets was exciting. The Dodgers made it interesting. They couldn't get the big hit. You know what? That's the postseason, though. If you can't get the big hit, you're not going to win.
Yep.
The Guardians have had their chance. Guardians had the bases loaded three times last night. If you can't come through and get the big hit, well, then you're not going to win. You know, the Mets did it. Vientos took them deep. Yeah, that was the series as that gave the Mets a real chance to win this series, that hit.
And what do you think about them potentially walking Lindor to make the bases loaded?
I would have done the same thing.
You think so?
I would have done the exact same thing. I'm not letting Lindor beat me.
Okay. He did hit a home run already that game.
I'm not letting Lindor beat me. Same way the Guardians walked Soto last night to face Judge. Not letting Soto beat me.
Yeah.
Judge hasn't been good. He's been awful. Not letting Soto beat me.
Well, Vientos is our hottest hitter. He's hitting like, what, 350?
I don't care. He's a rookie. He's a rookie. Lindor is arguably the MVP.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Ohtani. I'm not letting Lindor beat me. Does that extra run matter? So if Lindor would have hit a three... So if Lindor would have hit a three-run home run, okay, everyone would have been saying, oh, you should have walked Lindor. How do you let Lindor beat you? Okay, so you walk Lindor. Vientos hits a grand slam. Does that extra run, you know, it's worth it to risk that extra run rather than let Lindor beat you, let their best player beat you. So they had a base open, they took a chance, and it didn't work out. But that's the name of the game. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So that's the World Series talk. That's the baseball talk. Now we're gonna transition to basketball.
Okay.
There was some action going on in the Knicks preseason game against Minnesota. Dante DiVincenzo calling out what looked to be like Rick Brunson.
Yeah, which is weird.
Well, that quote unquote beef that they had at the end of the game, where they had to be separated, was a little interesting. I want to know who he was talking to when he was at the free throw line.
I heard it from what I heard, what I was looking at. He was talking to Rick Brunson, but also what he said wouldn't make sense to why he was talking to Rick Brunson. But
well, maybe Brunson, Rick Brunson has some say in you know what's going on, because you know Jalen Brunson is the golden boy in New York right now. So yeah. And he is on the coaching staff, Rick Brunson, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he had some say in the town trade. Who knows? But that just goes to show you that those reports about Dante DiVincenzo wanting out are probably not true.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted out.
Because he seemed a little mad that he was gone. And you know what? I think he's going to have a really good year. I think the Knicks made a mistake, but if it works out, it works out. Listen, there is no right or wrong move. I think it's the wrong move. I think now you make yourself the villain rather than being the happy, fun team with all the chemistry, the Nova Knicks and all this, that. Now you're the villain. Now you're the team that everyone's going to target because you made the big trade. You went out and got the star. Okay, you traded draft picks to get Mikal Bridges, which Mikal Bridges isn't a superstar. He's a very good basketball player, but you traded six first-round draft picks for him. So now you went out this past offseason and made two huge trades, okay, that could set your franchise back very, very far if you don't win a championship. And now there's a ton of pressure. So that's why I think it was the wrong move. I've seen it happen. I've lived it as a Net fan. I could care less what the Knicks do. I'm not one of those Net fans that sits out there and you know, hates the Knicks. I don't hate them. I like the guys that are on the team for the most part. And I like Karl Anthony Towns, but I think this adds a lot of pressure.
But also, if he does wind up coming off the bench, DiVincenzo, I think he wins Sixth Man of the Year. I think he'll have a great year, average around 21 or something.
Well, I wouldn't say 21, but I think Dante DiVincenzo does wind up having a great year. I think Julius Randle has a great year, and I think the Timberwolves are better than the Knicks. So I think they will wind up being better than them this year. All right, well, we're running out of time. I want to get to our picks.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
Remember, if you want to make your picks, go to foxsportsnewjersey.com, sign up with your email, and make your picks for this week's NFL season. All right, Mikey, you weren't here last week. I made my picks. All right? So now you're back. Now we're both going to make our picks. This Thursday night, we have the Broncos and the Saints. So, again, this is coming to you on Saturday morning. So this game will have already been played. Let's see if we can predict the future here. Mikey, who do you got?
I got the Broncos handling the rookie Rattler.
This is a toss-up. Rattler did look good. I'm probably going to go with Denver as well. It's on the road, so it's a little interesting. But I'll take Sean Payton in a revenge game in New Orleans. All right, starting off on Sunday in London, Patriots-Jaguars, who you got?
That is such a disgusting game. But I think the Patriots are going to wind up winning with Drake May.
Jaguars are going to win this game. Jaguars are probably going to win this game, maybe in a blowout. Yeah, and that's just all I have to say. I think Jaguars are going to blow them out. They were able to stay in London. They've been there already. They didn't have to travel. I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence in a bounce-back game. And then we have first 1 o'clock game, Tennessee versus Buffalo.
I got Buffalo blowing them out.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Buffalo. Hopefully Amari Cooper plays. For all you fantasy owners out there, I know I have 2 shares of Amari Cooper, so I'm hoping for that. Dolphins, Colts, no Tua again.
I got the Colts. Richardson probably returning this week.
Yeah, this is a pretty low spread. I think Richardson returning hurts the Colts.
Oh, so do I.
And it hurts a lot of fantasy players on that team. I don't know if Taylor's going to play. He hasn't practiced. I'm going to say Miami squeaks away with a win here on the road in Indianapolis. Again, I'll probably regret that pick, but that's the pick I'm going with. All right, Detroit and Minnesota.
I got the Vikings losing the first game this year. I got Detroit.
You got Detroit. All right. Well, this game is in Minnesota. Minnesota is 2.5-point favorites. Aiden Hutchinson is a huge loss, a monumental loss on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to say Minnesota keeps the ball rolling and they go to 6-0.
Okay.
Bengals, Browns.
I got the Bengals.
I'm going to go with the Bengals as well. Don't think the Browns are going to be able to score. I'm surprised this spread isn't a much higher. It's only 6. I'm going to go with the Bengals. Texans, Packers.
Ooh, that's a good game. Yeah, I'm going to take the Texans this game.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Houston as well. Yeah, I'm just going to go with Houston. It's simple as that. Seahawks and Atlanta.
I got Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm probably going to roll with the Falcons as well. I like the way they're playing. It's a home game for them. I'll take Atlanta. Eagles, Giants.
You know, I was going into the week thinking that the Giants were actually going to win this game, but with Andrew Thomas most likely being out.
Oh, he's done for the year.
Yeah, most likely being out for the year. I don't think. I mean, they might get Malik Nabers back, but I don't think they'll be able to contain Barkley in his revenge game against the Giants.
So you're taking the Eagles?
Yeah.
I do think Barkley's going to have a monster game, but I'm going to say at home, I'm going to say the G-men come out with a victory here. Don't think the Eagles are that good right now. I think Sirianni is, you know, falling apart at the wheel here. I think they're a little bit of a dumpster fire right now. I'm going to roll with the Giants. Panthers, Commanders, pretty easy game. I'm going to go with the Commanders. Wouldn't be shocked if the Panthers gave them a fight, but I'm going to go with the Commanders. Raiders, Rams.
Oh, this is an interesting game. You know what? I got the Raiders bouncing back after.
I'm gonna take the Rams in a fairly easy one here. I think Cooper Kupp returns. This game is in LA. I think the Rams are gonna.
Is
roll
he supposed
here.
To be playing?
Yeah, they said there's a pretty good chance that he could play. So I'm gonna roll with the Rams.
Okay.
Could be the game of the week here. Chiefs 49ers.
You know, I got the Chiefs losing. I'll take the Niners this game.
I'm gonna take the Chiefs. I just can't go against Patrick Mahomes ever. Moving on to Sunday night, Jets, Steelers. Steelers opened up at 2.5-point favorites. Now they are minus 2.5-point favorites. Now they are plus 2.5. Who do you got?
I got the Jets.
You're taking the Jets. If Russell Wilson plays, I'm going to take the Jets. And if Justin Fields plays, I'm going to take the Steelers. And if Russell Wilson plays and I'm wrong, I really hope that I am wrong.
Yeah.
And I hope Russell Wilson looks very good and the Steelers can move forward with, I don't know. I'm not even going to talk on it because it's just a stupid situation all around. So, that's what I'm going to do. Russell Wilson plays, taking the Jets. Fields plays, taking the Steelers. Moving on to Monday night. There's 2 Monday night games this week. We got the Ravens and the Buccaneers.
You know, I'll take the Ravens on this game.
I'm going to take Tampa. Tampa's at home. Tampa's playing hot. I think everyone in the world is going to be on the Ravens, so I'm going to go with Tampa. And for the final game, 9 o'clock, Chargers versus Cardinals in Arizona.
I mean, assuming the Cardinals don't have Harrison, I'll probably go the Chargers.
Chargers are 3-point favorites. I'm going to say the Cardinals win this one and move closer to 500 at 3-4. Well, all right, Mikey. I think we're going to wrap it up here. It's a pretty good show today.
Yep.
Had a lot of fun. A lot of fun breaking down all 3 sports and, you know, getting to everything that we wanted to get to. Hopefully your picks are better than they have been in recent weeks. Hopefully mine continue to be great.
Okay.
Right. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Keelan's Corner, out.